Time to talk a little college football. Season about halfway through, maybe a little bit more, and on it and covering it like a glove, as he's done for a long time, is Brett McMurphy. You can follow him on Twitter or on X at Brett_McMurphy. He is applying his trade and expertise for the Action Network. You can follow them at Action Network HQ, again on X. And we just tweeted out his college football playoff grid, which of course expands to 12 games this year. Brett, great to have you on. Rick Doc Walker of UCLA fame, and I'm just merely Chris Russell. How are you? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Good.
Yeah, appreciate you. Yeah, appreciate you coming aboard with us. So, I mean, before we get a little local spin, because there is some interesting things with Virginia Tech and Maryland and so on and so forth for us here in the D.C. area, I was curious, when you unveiled your 12-team bracket, two things jumped out at me. Number one, you've got Army, and they've been a great story, undefeated. They are rich. I mean, I watch them every week. They are just pummeling people. You've got Army making it, which I presume means that you have Army over Navy in the upcoming Army-Navy game here in Landover. And then on top of that, you had a rematch between Saturday night's matchup in Austin in the quarterfinal round, Georgia-Texas. Take me through, I guess, those decisions in terms of how you played with things in the bracket.
Yeah, well, these are my projections, so it's kind of how I'm seeing the year play out. And it's different than, I also voted in the AP top 25 poll. So it's the top 25 ballot is the teams how I think they are up to this point. So the projections is kind of based on how I think it's going to end up. And I just, with the Army, I don't know if it's, I'll be honest, I don't know if I really think that, or it's just more hopeful that I would love to see Army and or Navy get into the playoff. Both Army and Navy play Notre Dame. Obviously, Notre Dame and Navy is this week, Army in a couple of weeks. Most everybody else probably has Boise State as the Group 5 representative. That makes sense, but I just think Boise State's still susceptible to another loss. They play UNLV this week. They still have Oregon State. They would have to probably win a rematch against UNLV in the Mountain West title game. So I think they could possibly lose a game there. And if they do, I think that opens the door for Army so they can get in there. You're right. They've pummeled everybody they played, but their strength of schedule, isn't the greatest either. But so that's why I've got them in there. And as far as Texas and Georgia in a rematch, look, I think – again, it's going to depend on who wins the conference championships in the Big Ten and the SEC. I think you'll see Georgia and Texas play two, maybe three times this year. I think you'll see Ohio State and Oregon play two, maybe three times this year. And I think what's going to be fascinating, and it's going to – you can tell people and tell people and tell people, but they – unless they're just really dug into college football, they're not going to realize it until they see the actual brackets. But when the bracket comes out, they're going to flip out when they see the Big 12 champ and the ACC champ or the third and fourth seeds, when their actual ranking may be, 6 or 14.
Right.
But because they are a conference champ. And so, that's why I think you'll see these rematches in the Big Ten and SEC, because basically the runner-up or second-best team in those two leagues are going to be, probably top five, at worst top six, top seven. And so, it's funny. They will play the first-round games, and then whoever doesn't win the Big Ten or SEC will then play the Big 12 or ACC champ in the quarterfinals, and they'll actually be the worst seeded team, yet they could be over a touchdown favorite against the so-called higher seeds from the Big 12 or ACC. And that's, I think that'll really catch a lot of people off guard, but that's why I think we'll see some rematches, in those conferences. I love we went to 12 teams. I think it adds so much to the college football season. we're sitting here talking about Army potentially getting in the playoff. I think there's two dozen teams right now that legitimately can get to the playoff. But that's the good news. The bad news is it's going to be the same four at the end of the year when it's all said and done. So it's the same usual suspects, but, you know, more people invited to the party at least.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love it. I didn't see the Hoosiers in there, and you believe in Penn State, and they need a breakthrough. They're getting some things done, but I got to see it to believe it because I've never seen it. I mean, to where they win the big game that they're supposed to win, and based on your work, you say that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, and hey, you know what's funny is I was at Big Ten Media Day in Indianapolis, and the coaches get 15 minutes on the main stage to do, you know, an opening monologue and then some Q&As. James Franklin, in 15 minutes, referenced three different times that usually when you win 11 games, it's a successful season, but not at Penn State. Mm. Why did he keep saying that? Because exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. They haven't won the big one. They're winning double-digit victories every year, but they're not getting the playoff. Mm-hmm. I think this changes this year. I think they'll lose to Ohio State, although the way this year's gone, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Ohio State. I think that's the only game they're probably going to lose. So at 11-1, they should get in a large bid. And as far as Indiana, just an incredible season. I know they just seal clubbed Nebraska.
Yeah,
they still have to go at Michigan State, at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I think they may get dinged by two losses. And with that strength of schedule, I don't know if 10-2 Indiana gets in a large bid. But again, we're talking about here's a school we haven't talked about in forever. Mm-hmm. And what kind of upside down world is this? Forget about Stranger Things. It's college athletics. Indiana is ranked higher than Alabama in football, and Alabama is ranked higher than Indiana in basketball. So,
how about that?
Up is down, down is up.
Well, and that's true because not only, Doc asked you about Indiana, and Cignetti's doing a great job, and of course, people around here are familiar from what he did at JMU before taking the Indiana job, but you don't have Notre Dame in your Final 12, and of course, because Alabama lost on the road at Tennessee the other day, you don't have Alabama making the college. So no Indiana, no Notre Dame, no Alabama, unless I'm missing it, and I don't think I am, right?
Nope. Yeah, I think Notre Dame loses again. I don't know where. I don't know if the military academies are going to get them. You know, the game at USC, I know USC's, you know, in a tailspin right now, mm-hmm. but I think in that finale, I think this will be a Super Bowl-like game for Lincoln Riley to quiet his critics. Notre Dame has not played the toughest schedule to date so far. I think, you know, 10-2 with that strength of schedule is not going to match up well with some of these teams from the SEC and the Big Ten, so that's why I don't have them in there. Alabama, I think they've got at least another loss in them, and you know, I mean, they're fortunate they didn't lose to South Carolina. They did lose to Tennessee. I mean, the game against Missouri, who knows? At LSU is not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. In the Iron Bowl, anything can happen to that. Yep. So, yeah, I don't have Alabama in there either,
Alabama might have two more losses in that, Brett. I mean, when you were just going down this game, they might have two more losses.
I mean, realistically, and this is college football overall, I love that, and you know, you can have your opinion about the transfer portal, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. Bottom line is, it's turned literally overnight college football into the NFL, where everybody is basically a 500 team.
Yeah.
You know, in perspective. But you're right. Alabama's final games, except for FCS Mercer, is Missouri, at LSU, at Oklahoma, Auburn. They can win all four of those. They can lose all four of those. And that's what's made this year so incredibly exciting. When a couple weeks ago, I think we saw five of the top 11 lose. A couple weeks ago, we saw two of the top 10 lose. So it's like it's different because now there's more of these quality games against ranked teams. You may win that game, but then the following week, when you're supposedly going to be able to catch your breath, then you're going to get knocked off. So Yeah, I think it's great, and opens it up to a lot more fan bases.
Brett McMurphy from the Action Network joining us. Again, you can follow him on X at Brett_McMurphy, Action Network at Action Network HQ. Check out actionnetwork.com, the latest bowl projections for not only the 12-team playoff field, but also the other bowls, too. And Brett, I wanted to ask you just before I kind of, you know, forget. Obviously Virginia Tech had a big win. I have had a couple of big wins here, but a big win against Boston College. They hung on for dear life, and obviously the final score was a little bit more one-sided than maybe it was for a little period of time. But Tootin has just been unbelievable all year, but he was great in that game. I know he just won some sort of an award. Maybe this isn't your territory, but I know he is the fabric, the glue of Virginia Tech right now and what makes them go. But moving forward, how do you kind of view him? Is he just a good college player? Is he a big time back? How do you kind of look at Tootin?
Yeah, no, he's definitely a big time back. And yeah, he was today he was named Walter Camp National Offensive Player of the Week. And there's a ton of awards out there, but Walter Camp is the most prestigious honor. So that's obviously huge for him. No, I think he's a big time back, and I guess either good news, bad news, however you want to look at it. In my preseason projections, I had Virginia Tech going to the playoff.
Mm-hmm. You weren't the only one, right? McAfee, I think, also had, and somebody else from ESPN had it as well.
Yeah. Things obviously didn't start out the way the Hokies had hoped. But no, I think they're vastly talented. He's obviously a stud. The key, I think, for them is play at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They could have, should have beat Miami. And if they beat Miami, they don't lose at Rutgers. Even with the Vandy loss, they still have a chance to get to the playoff. Obviously now, I'd say those hopes are pretty much done. You'd need, so much chaos around the country. But, yeah, no, it's that was an impressive win against Boston College. I mean, they jumped on them early, and you're right, the final score was a little deceiving.
How long before the University of Southern California offers Nick Saban $30 million?
They already have. What do you mean?
No, oh, I'm yeah. Kidding. They already have. Seriously, there's no way on earth that they will stand for what's going on at this point. I don't know how they can afford to do it, to allow this to continue.
Well, the thing is, the longer Saban's out of coaching, the more impressed you are by what he did. And I thought this when he was at Alabama. It sounds weird to say this. I don't think he got enough appreciation for what he accomplished at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And that may sound weird, but basically they were ranked number one every year for a dozen years or so. They made, 8 or 9 of the 10 playoffs. And he did it every single year. Mm-hmm. And you just took for granted that, okay, Alabama's in the playoff. Who are the other three teams going to be? And you didn't really appreciate it. Now, obviously, Alabama fans are appreciating it a lot more. But, unfortunately for those fan bases that want to try to get Saban, I think he's pretty content on what he's doing. But, yeah, he would that would definitely be a huge boost if they could get him.
I wanted to tie in my final question to that. And by the way, check out, again, Brett's latest, actionnetwork.com, including who he's got here in our local bowl, the Military Bowl in Annapolis, and what two teams he projects. I don't want to give it away, so people can go check that out. If you're certainly looking for some intrigue, I think you'll find it, including where he also has Virginia Tech playing in a college football bowl game. But you mentioned, Doc asked you about Saban. We see him on College Game Day. We saw Tony Bennett. I know this is kind of, college basketball, different sport, different everything, but we saw Tony Bennett surprisingly retire at Virginia. We've seen other legends kind of say, nope, I'm good. You mentioned earlier, this is what's great about college football, the 12-team playoff, all the different things that come with the transfer portal and NIL and all that. Do you think we are at a point where we are just going to see, again, you know, legends, greats, even more, and I don't know how many more we have, Brett, just walk away going, I don't want to deal with this, or go to the NFL because somehow, some way, it's become easier to deal with the NFL than it is college football?
Yeah, I do think we'll see that. And there's a couple of guys, you know, obviously, you know, Mac Brown, obviously, you know, he's near the end of his career, and that's his decision. When he decides he's going to step down, he'll step down, whether it's this year, next year, 5 years from now. I think you'll see Kyle Whittingham of Utah. They've already named a coach in waiting for him. Total speculation, not reporting this as news, but I would not be surprised if this is his final year. And yeah, it takes its toll. And it's, I mentioned Mac. I had talked to him a couple of years ago about, you know, are you sad to see that college athletics has become professional with the NIL, with the, you know, all these lawsuits, you know, the pain of the players, all these different things and so forth and so on. And he goes, Brett, the college athletics is not like professional. And I'm like, Mac, what are you talking about?
It is,
goes,
yeah.
Brett, he goes, professional leagues have rules. We don't have any rules.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And obviously there are, quote, rules, but, you know, nobody's enforcing them. Nobody knows what they are. And, yeah, that takes – I think that takes a toll on a lot of these guys. I think that's why Chip Kelly left UCLA to become an offensive coordinator. He didn't want to deal with all the day-to-day BS with, you know, taking care of NILs with different players and, you know, doing all that sort of stuff. He just wanted to coach football. He wanted to be an offensive coach. He obviously – him and Ryan Day go way, way back to when Day played at New Hampshire and Chip Kelly was his offensive coordinator. So, I think you'll see that with a lot of coaches. Kingsbury obviously went to the pros.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that think, you know, Lincoln Riley may eventually end up in the pros. Ryan Day potentially end up in the pros. Yeah, it's just – it's a much better quality of life, and things are definitely changing. But I agree with you. I think some of these, you know, guys that have been around longer maybe will hang it up a little bit earlier than we would have envisioned 5 or 10 years ago because of the uncertainty of what all is going on currently in college athletics.
Gosh, Brett, last thing, and I promise I know we've kept you too long, but real quickly, if you don't mind, is Norvell in any trouble at FSU, being that it's been such a bad year, but they've got a huge buyout? I mean, do you think he's staying, or do you think he's in some trouble there?
No, they can't get rid. I mean, he was. I don't mean to laugh, but he. They were 13-1 last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and are you just going to dismiss what happened last year?
No, I agree.
No, yeah, he's there. But the main thing is the money's crazy. How much money they would owe him, and then the other thing is, you know, which a lot of fan bases and unfortunately a lot of athletic directors don't realize this until it's too late. Well, let's say okay, Florida State is going to make a change. Like, okay, so who are you going to get to come in there? Nick Saban's not walking through the door. You know, you want to try to bring Deion back to his alma mater? I think, you know, I don't think Deion's going to coach much longer after his sons are gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's who I was, and that's who I was, by the way, kind of thinking. Deion's right. He's probably going to wind up in the NFL.
I don't think so.
Deion may just not coach anymore.
Interesting.
Can't be in charge of the men with money.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the biggest difference now with the coaching industry is, you know, in the, quote, the old days, 10, 15 years ago or whatever, coaches would go from one job to another to chase money. They would take a bad job, even if it was a bad job, because they would make more money.
Mm-hmm.
The money now is insane. It's very good everywhere else. It's obviously not the same everywhere else. But you can make a comfortable living no matter what school you're at. So now it's a personal choice. And with a lot of these guys that we're talking about, they could stop coaching yesterday, and they've got enough money for them to live on, for their kids to live on. So it's not a money issue. So that's why there's a different mentality, I think, with these coaches, and specifically Deion. Like, you know, unless he wants to go back to Florida State and coach there, I don't think he'd want to go there. I understand the connection. I understand, you know, why that would make sense, but I don't think it's that simple of, well, this would make the most sense. It's a personal choice. If you've made multiple millions of dollars through the years, it's more quality of life. And right now in college athletics, there's not a real great quality of life with everything you got to deal with.
Brett, this was great. Thank you so much.
Brett.
Sorry for keeping you a little bit longer than originally we had planned out, but this was awesome. Glad we bounced around to it all. Great write-up, obviously, on the Action Network. Look forward to, of course, following you throughout the rest of the college football season and everything in between. Thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Brett McMurphy, college football insider for the Action Network at @Brett_McMurphy on the X, actionnetwork.com. Doc, that was a good spot.
So strong.
And again, highly encourage people to go check out where he's got Virginia Tech going, Navy, where he's got Virginia going, in terms of the college football bowl projections, if you're into that sort of thing. And I was fascinated by a couple of the teams, even with a 12-team playoff, that he's got out, including Alabama, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And who was the third one that was a little bit? Oh, Indiana, that you brought
Indiana.
Up.
Indiana.
And I didn't even see Indiana, so good pull by you.